know. It was all a dream.
This is the Vinyl Garage.
And a one and a two. There's a place where I can go, and that's where I wanna be. I'm saying goodbye to you good people, for I found a place for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gonna go way out,
way out.
That's where the fun is, way out,
way out.
That's where the sun is.
Welcome to the Vinyl Garage. I'm Dave Nelson, your host to the lesser heard side of rock, one consisting of album cuts and B-sides, along with a healthy dose of rock and roll vinyl history, and at times some not so subtle commentary, from the blues of the 30s to today's new releases and everything in between. We have a lot to do, so let's get started. Here's the scenario. You're a rock band needing just one more LP to fulfill your contractual obligation to the label, but you don't have any new material. What to do? Well, you've got two options. One, a greatest hits collection, assuming you've actually had a hit. And two, a live LP. In this case, we're also assuming you've recorded some live material. But if you haven't, just do what the Rolling Stones did. Use some studio cuts with crowd noises dubbed in as on their 1966 LP, Got Live If You Want It. Something Mick and Keith are undoubtedly still proud of today. But that's how unimportant the live LP was at the time. This haphazard approach to a live album would change, and proper respect for the product would soon emerge when the labels realized just how lucrative a live LP would be. And it took 1976 for them to take notice, with the release of Frampton's Comes Alive and Bob Seger's Live Bullet, selling 6 times and 5 times platinum, respectively. The live album, if you haven't already figured it out, is the subject of this final book.
Ah!
back home to Korea. Tonight is hot in this magazine. I can't see when I leave that thing. Oh, God, I need a dream. I'm to Korea.
The Who's first of many farewell tours was in 1982 with the Richfield Coliseum show to be allegedly the last. Fast forward to today and 17 tours later, the band is set to embark on yet another. Maybe this is the last. Probably not. Due to start in just over a week on April 3rd in Liverpool. Love Rain or Me was from the final show in 2013 at Wembley, London. The Moody Blues Ride My Seesaw is from 1st May 2000 at the Royal Albert Hall. And just a couple of blocks away at Earl's Court, Pink Floyd's Without Roger, Run Like Hell from the Division Bell Tour. The song was the last performed in each encore. This recording is from a tad less than legit album titled Serious Intermission. Crossing the pond into New York at the Beacon Theater, continuing the old rockers theme, is the Rolling Stones with, in this case, a proper live album, Shine a Light from 2008, and Mick's signature tune, Sympathy for the Devil.
Thank you. Well, you're not dreaming. This is the Vinyl Garage.
No. your feet or on your knees. Here they are, the amazing Blue Oyster Cult.
Well, now you're stepping inside. where you don't see too many faces. Coming in out of rain to hear the jazz go down. Competition, too many other places. Yeah, but the horns, they're blowing that sound, they're blowing. Way on down south. London town. Check it out, Guitar Joe. Now he knows all them fancy clothes. With this rhythm, gonna make that guitar cry and make it sing. The burning colored lights gonna play there. Right. And now he doesn't mind if he doesn't make that fancy scene. But daytime job, he's doing quite alright, thank you very much. Do the honky tonk just like anything. We'll be right back.
an excellent example of a band using a live LP to buy time until they have a good enough follow-up to their previously very successful LP, is Supertramp. 1979's Breakfast in America was the band's most popular by far, so the next LP needed to be just as good. 1980's Paris live LP was just what the doctor ordered. The cut Dreamer was taken from 1974's Crime of the Century LP. The scenario for the next live LP was strangely similar to the aforementioned. Coming off two highly successful multi-platinum releases, Left Overture and Point of No Return, Kansas released Two for the Show, which reached platinum status of its own. That was from 1978. From that same year, Cheap Trick at Budokan gave us a single LP of a concert recorded in Japan. Originally only intended for the Japanese market, Epic Records, after seeing upwards of 30,000 copies imported to the U.S., released a domestic version of its own 1 year later. Going back to 1975, before live LPs became the rage, is Blue Oyster Cult's On Your Feet or On Your Knees. 1 year before their biggest selling endeavor, Agents of Fortune. The cut Cities on Flame with Rock and Roll dates back to the cult's first LP in 1972. Dire Straits hit the big time right out of the box in 1978 with Sultans of Swing, but waited till 1984 to release it live on the Alchemy album. We're closing with what I, and many others for that matter, consider the best live LP of all time, Rockin' the Fillmore by The Humble Pie. It's the last Pie LP featuring Peter Frampton, who himself would, in 5 years, have his own huge live release. I Don't Need No Doctor.
Thanks for spending a perfectly good 25 weeks and the previous hour of your life here in the Vinyl Garage as we put Season 7 in the can. It's been a pleasure being part of your life. Keep in touch with the show at facebook.com/Vinyl Garage Show or directly via email at vinylgarage@oh.rr.com. So until next time, this is Dave Nelson. Thanks for listening.
Great,